The Karooah Bypass was opened on the 22nd of September 2004, and Fred McInerney's frustration with the traffic was now a thing of the past.
I remember the first day the bypass opened, I was up north somewhere, and I come back with a trailer on the car, and I needed some beer from the bottle shop over here. And coming in and planning where I'd park on this side of the street and walk across, and I sort of looked up the street and looked in the mirror and said, I can do a U-turn. And it was sort of unheard of, you know, unthought of. And I come out of the bottle shop with my carton. I put it in the car, and again, I was sort of planning, you know, I'll dash across here and I'll turn right at the lights. And I got in the car again and looked up the highway and looked in the mirror and thought, I can do another U-turn. This is unbelievable.
Most people agree that Karooah is a better place to live in than it was prior to the bypass. Lynette Payne.
To live here now is much better. Before, we used to have something like 30 to 50,000 cars at Christmas time go through, and Karooah's not a terribly big area. So we had all that traffic and traffic fumes and that, and the air quality wasn't crash hot. But now, with it gone, yes, it's a beautiful little place to live, but the impact on the business has been absolutely dreadful.
Karooah's economy had been based on highway traffic, and now that traffic was gone. Ian Mackey.
A lot of people have argued to me that Karooah is better off because they own 30,000 cars coming through the main street. I totally agree with them. Any town would be. But then you look at what Karooah was doing the day before the bypass and what Karooah was doing after the bypass. Karooah has been massively, massively affected socially, culturally and economically. And if two other businesses close, look like closing in the main street, it will kill the town. That's how on edge this place is.
Some businesses closed and others struggled on. Manager of Karooah's one surviving service station, Sharon Mooney.
There were another two service stations in the town. They closed. There have been other businesses closed since the bypass because they relied on the highway traffic. All businesses in Karooah that have food rely on highway traffic.
80% of Mobil's trade was lost, and with it 24 of 40 jobs. Sharon Mooney.
It was a massive loss. We will never, ever get that back again.
Accommodation was also badly affected. Owner of Karooah Motor Inn, Wayne Keft.
Pre-bypass, we had an occupancy rate of around 65%. Now we're down to 43%. It's just borderline. Our biggest trade loss is the people that come into a town, see the motel open, oh, we're tired, we'll stay here. We just don't get that type of trade anymore, and that's where we've lost most of our trade.
Karooah had known for years that the bypass was coming. Had anyone tried to be proactive? Sharon Mooney.
For 12 months previous, we formed a Chamber of Commerce and we put up banners to say, you know, after the bypass, don't bypass Karooah. The council paid for those. The Mobil itself, I changed the menus, and I think changing the menu helped a lot because before we were kind of fast food and then we became home-cooked meal. You know, for 12 months there was a lot of changes made in the business to counterbalance the bypass. It has worked. We get a lot of elderly people coming in to have their nice home-cooked meal. And I suppose in a lot of ways it's surprising how many people do come off the highway to visit us.
Cliff Johnson has also noticed small signs of improvement.
The percentage of traffic that comes off the highway now compared to the total number of traffic on the highway is very, very small, but the actual numbers of vehicles that are stopping is starting to climb up quite a bit.
And things are improving for some of the town's businesses. Cliff Johnson.
Well, there are two shops there now, the butcher shop and the hot bread shop, that were talking of closing as soon as the highway went in, and they didn't. And now they're quite happy that they didn't.
Adapting to the new circumstances seems to have been the answer. Bev Manton.
The fact remains that you have to diversify. There's a few businesses did that and are still surviving, going quite well. And we've got a couple more new businesses come to town. And we've got a computer shop. We didn't ever have anything like that in the town before, and it's great just having that there.
And Wayne Keft thinks the worst might be over for his motel.
It sort of bottomed out around Christmas of last year, and it seems to be holding steady to what we would expect now. Don't see a great increase in trade except for the normal increases in people that are travelling and that, but it will be a very slow process to climb back up the ladder again. We can struggle on the way we are, and I've gone and got a job driving a bus, school bus morning and evening, just to give us a little bit extra cash.
Karua's chances of recovery depend on the efforts of groups like the Working Together Committee, chaired by Town Coordinator Ian Mackey.
We've done branding, we've done some marketing, we've done a website, we've done some brochures. We want to do some training with businesses on how they can market and work together. We want to get the businesses together, specifically the five accommodation places, and look at target markets and spend some of the Karua Working Together money to help them help themselves and set up programs that attract customers to the place. You've got to go out and get them. You can't wait for the customers to come here.
There is no shortage of ideas when it comes to what can be done for Karua. Wayne Keft.
Probably one of the simplest things, and this is what our customers are telling us, that we need some signage up on the highway, which seems to be impossible for us to afford and even to get the shires to allow us to put up. A lot come in and say, oh, we're a bit surprised that the motels are still here. We weren't really sure. We just come in on the odd chance that you might be open.
Signage would also let travellers know that Karua is the northern gate to Port Stephens. Lynette Payne.
A lot of people used to pull up to my real estate office and say, like, how do I get to Port Stephens? And I used to say to them, you're in Port Stephens. Karua is the north gate to Port Stephens. And we used to say to Port Stephens Council, as far as we're concerned, Karua should have been like a little showcase town because you were coming into Port Stephens from the north. And when you got to Karua, there was virtually nothing. And yet you go over to Nelson's Bay, the money seems to have been spent all in that area. And if we'd have got just one-tenth of it, Karua would have been better off. And we would have had a nice little attractive town for people to come and stop in.
But Karua is not without assets. Bev Manton.
We have this most beautiful resource that flows past our doors. Karua River is one of the few rivers that you can catch fish in these days. A lot of the other places are just fished out and trawled out. But Karua, you can still go there and get a feed of fish. It is the most magnificent river.
Wayne Keft agrees.
I suppose our biggest asset is that river. And a really good boat ramp would bring people in to use it more. I don't know if that would actually get people in our business to stay, but at least people would be coming in, spending money, at the other shops and things around. And also promote that we're not so far. I mean, we're 15 minutes to the beach at Hawk's Nest, and people go over the other side and drive longer than that to get to the beach from Salamander or whatever.
It would seem to be just a question of money. To build a boat ramp, improve the township's appearance, promote its attractions. But there are limits to what can be done. Phil Buchan.
There's been a lot of interest in terms of Karua being a retirement location. People have said it's a nice place, quiet, to retire. And I guess there are a number of environmental aspects, physical aspects of the town and its environment around it that make it attractive in that sense. I guess the only thing is the lacking some of the support services that you might require, particularly as a retiree, but even new families. But Karua has some opportunities there, and it only seems to be restricted by Hunter Waters' cap that they've put on the number of residential properties that can be sewered. Being a sensitive environment in terms of an oyster growing area, obviously you don't want contamination of the estuarine area to impact on that industry. So it is being carefully managed.
One of the biggest issues affecting Karua is that it's a small town. Lynette Payne.
If Karua had been the size of Raymond Terrace or Goulburn, we would have had a foot in the door. But Karua's not very big. We've only got a population of around about 12 to 1400. And there's not enough population here at the moment to sustain the businesses. Most of the people don't spend their money in town as far as shopping because we don't have a shopping centre as such. We've got the little general store where the news agency is, but most of them have to go to Raymond Terrace or up to Tea Gardens to Bylow.
The size of Raymond Terrace means it has more to offer. Bev Manton.
Raymond Terrace has boosted the corporate side of the township. There are more businesses in there now, larger shopping centres with lots of specialty shops. And the roads improved so much that so a trip to Raymond Terrace is not as hard as it was a long time ago. So it's much easier now. So you're into Raymond Terrace in 15 to 20 minutes.
But Raymond Terrace isn't everyone's first choice. Gwen Neal.
A lot of people do go into Raymond Terrace to do their shopping, but there's a lot of old people that haven't got cars and things to go into Raymond Terrace. So we want a nice shopping centre. The shops that are here now, they do their best. The paper shop's a very good shop and, you know, you can do banking here and everything, so that's convenient. We should think enough of our town to spend some of our money here.
There are hurdles, but there are also plans and aspirations. Bev Manton.
Our people were great boat builders. They built ocean-going yachts, racing yachts. So I started this project 18 months ago. We started building all these boats. We've got 5 boats built up there that you could row them or put a sail on them or have a small motor on the back. And we were going to have guided river tours, Aboriginal guided tours. But in any case, I'm a bit of a romantic and I just wanted people to get back on the river again.
Wayne Keft is working on 2 sports packages.
We are trying to provide some golf packages. We are getting a few bowlers coming in, so that type of thing could be worth, well, it is worth working on. It's just a matter of getting people interested in coming to Karua for a bowls day and a golf day.
Sharon Mooney knows of a small town where one business has made all the difference.
I know there's a place down near Albury and the bakery built a bakery shop and they get busloads of people going to this bakery shop. They get busloads of people and there's nothing else in town. We need a businessman. We need somebody in a business with money to start, to say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour all this money in and this is going to be a showcase. It won't take much, but it has to take something.